Hello, this is Sean Kennedy. I'm the Editor-in-Chief of the American Journal of Nursing, and I'm very pleased to be speaking to you today from the 41st Annual National Teaching Institute of the American Association of Critical Care Nurses in gorgeous San Diego. And I'm here talking with Terry Lynn Kiss. Terry, hello.
Good morning. Hello.
And Karen McQuillan. Hello, Karen.
Hello.
Pleasure to be here.
Karen is the will be the next president of AACN, and Terry is the has one more day left, correct?
No, I actually have a month, Sean. I'm not done until June 30th.
So oh, okay.
Don't push me out the door quite yet.
Okay, I won't. So, Terry, let's go to you first, since you have just a month to go, and I heard your presidential address yesterday where you talked about the year you had, and this morning the keynote speaker talked about identifying what great work that we've done, and that's what our focus should be. So as you're getting ready to hand the reins over to Karen, what great work do you feel the organization has done while you were president this year?
Well, you know, we do so much great work, but I think I can really think of three specific things, and it's all in service to the mission, which is to drive excellence because nothing less is acceptable. And when you think about the vision, it's nurses like making their optimal contributions to create a healthcare system that meets the needs of patients and families. So I think about the first thing is you remember in November when the Ebola crisis swept the nation. And I think one of the things that AACN was really able to do was to partner with other organizations and provide a voice of calm reasoning that was able to marshal together information. And I think that we punctuated the credibility and also increased the visibility of AACN because we were able to bring those resources together on our AACN Ebola webpage. We also were able to represent. Karen actually went to the White House on several occasions, and we were like at the top roundtables talking about what was needed, not only for our patients to protect our patients, but also for our nurses to protect the safety of our nurses. I think that was one thing that really exemplified how AACN meets whatever is coming their way. So I think the great work is being able to respond effectively and rapidly to whatever's coming down the pike. I think the second thing is what we're learning through our CSI Academy, which is the Clinical Scene Investigation Academy. And I think one of the things that as we face, you know, every day it's another regulation, it's another initiative, it's another something else. And what the CSI Academy does is really empowers bedside nurses to be leaders and to be change agents. And what they're able to do is not only drive patient outcomes, because that's what we're about, is driving those excellent outcomes, but it also does it with that tip of the hat towards the financial impact. And so the CSI program has estimated savings of $28.4 million to the hospitals that these nurses have worked within.
And how long has the CSI been, how long since it's been initiated?
So CSI has been around about 4 years, I believe, because it's been an 18-month program. And so it really is in different iterations. And that's what we're looking at now is how they say it, CSI 2.0, you know. and what is this going to look like? Because it has been that investigation. But it has mm-hmm. been incredible. And there actually is a lot of information on our website in terms of a CSI database. You know, some of the things that have been looked at is like decreasing length of stay, decrease days on mechanical ventilation, progressive mobility, using the confusion assessment method for ICU to really decrease that delirium, also decreasing incidence of pressure ulcers. And, you know, one of the things that I think is most exciting is that at this NTI, more than half of the 42 teams who have completed the program have a poster or they're leading a concurrent session. So it's very exciting. There's a lot of CSI information around here.
And these are 42 teams since the beginning?
Yes, since the inception. So there have been multiple cohorts that are being done. And we actually have two cohorts that are going now, one up in Seattle, and then we're actually working with a system, Banner Healthcare. Mm-hmm. And so to see how does this translate into a system so that we really can impact and spread, and then also that sustainability. And I think that's the other important piece is the sustainability, because it's, you know, it's okay to go to a program and you do something, yay, that's it. But now what we're finding is those nurses are teaching the next group of nurses are teaching the next group of nurses, and it's spreading from unit to unit to unit. And that really, I think, is how AACN works to empower the bedside nurse, and that's what I'm very proud about. And I think that is going to be huge, is huge for us right now. And then I think the third thing, if I might, is that what I had really the pleasure of this year was sharing a story from AJN, actually, by Danielle Hansen.
Yes, you did, and I was thinking, gee, I wish you had said it was from AJN when you mentioned it on stage.
Well, and one of the things that was so impactful from that was that what Danielle did was touch the heart, because every nurse has had that experience, and what she did was really inspired our community. And they wrote to me and said, here's my story. Oh my gosh, I was so inspired. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And then as you saw, Marge Wheeler was up on stage and shared her story, which really what that has done has opened up people into sharing even more stories. And I tell you, I've been stopped multiple times, as you can imagine, and people just stop me and tell me their story. And I think that is an important piece of legacy, is listening to those stories. What are they telling us? What are they sharing? Mm-hmm. So those are the things I think as I hand off to Karen that I'm really proud about, pleased about, and I think that AACN has a great legacy in those areas.
And so you're going back to Fairbanks, Alaska, and what's next for you? I know with AACN they don't let you just go.
Well, I still have post-presidential duty, so I do get a little weaning along the way. But, you know, one of the things, of course, being president is – okay, so I can say it. I could die happy now. You know, June 30th, okay. But it really is like the culmination of my professional life of achieving. But what I also know is that there's a lot more great work for me to accomplish in my home community of Fairbanks. And what I have learned and what I've experienced, I can take back to my hospital, Fairbanks Memorial Hospital in Fairbanks, Alaska, and say, okay, guys, let's make our optimal contribution and let's drive excellence, because nothing less is acceptable.
Great. All right, Karen, you're up. So now you've heard what Terry feels is her three primary accomplishments, or at least under her leadership at AACN that has really come forward. What's your thought now as you're stepping into the role?
Well, I'm extremely excited. This is an awesome opportunity, but the reason it's such an awesome opportunity is it gives you the opportunity to inspire nurses. And I think that that inspiration means really encouraging them to use their compassion and understand how powerful their care can be. That is really a large part of the message that I really want to communicate and talk about the fact that with that caring comes the incredible responsibility to really take action to do what's best for our patients and their families. And really part of that is continuing the work with empowering nurses to understand that they, without necessarily having a specific leadership title, can be leaders in creating change that really improves outcomes of patients and really can, I think, completely help transform healthcare. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's some great opportunity with that. I think that we also have to look at our own burnout, moral distress, and compassion fatigue, and what resilience we need to build amongst nurses so that they continue that great work. Again, not only to provide compassionate care to patients and families, but also to drive the needed changes in healthcare and improve outcomes. And I think that we also, a big part of what AACN is doing as well is really trying to ensure that our resource material that we have available to the nurses is really cutting edge and up to date so that they can continue to have that readily available to them as they carry on their work. Mm-hmm. So those are just some of the key messages that I would like to get across during my year as president.
Now, so people who are listening to this podcast understandably know that Terry's background is from Anchorage, Alaska. Fairbanks, Alaska, by way of Mississippi and a long journey up there. What about you? What's your background and how you got to Critical Care Board and President?
Sure. Well, I actually started off as a nurse in critical care. I worked at a small community hospital for a number of years and really felt like I wanted to learn more about everything that was happening physiologically with the patient and how I could make a difference in our patient's care. And so I went back to graduate school, went to University of Maryland at Baltimore, and got my master's degree in trauma critical care nursing. And that's really where I had one of my first experiences working at the Shock Trauma Center at the University of Maryland Medical Center. And took a position there soon after I graduated from school and have been the clinical nurse specialist there at the Shock Trauma Center for the over the last 28 years. So it's been awesome. I've been a member of the Chesapeake Bay chapter of AACN and have really enjoyed the opportunities to grow professionally and have AACN as really my rock in providing resources and also really provide me with an opportunity to grow professionally as a leader in healthcare.
That's great. Now, one question, I'm glad you brought up moral distress and resources, which of course AACN is known to provide such great resources for all critical care nurses, but I think especially more than any organization that I've seen over the years, for staff, for the bedside staff. One of the issues that I see a lot and hear a lot from our readers is the issue of staffing, and so many people say if we only had more staff, we wouldn't have so many other issues. Sure. So how do you feel? I'll ask you, Karen, since you're stepping into the role. In terms of staffing, what does AACN have a specific position on staffing ratios, or what is in your background, certainly at in the hospital medical center setting and shock trauma, where people tend to have maybe one-to-one in some of the real acute situations, but I'm talking about not only critical care but also acute care, because it is acute and critical care that is the focus. So tell me what you think.
Well, there's no question that AACN supports that there be adequate staffing or appropriate staffing for taking care of patients. And we recognize also that when there's inadequate staff to care for patients, that can be a safety factor for the patients and perhaps for the nurses as well. But actually having specific ratios, there's so many things that need to be considered as far as what constitutes adequate care. What AACN truly believes is that there be a synergy between what is needed to care for that specific patient and what kinds of things they have happening with them and their family and the skill set of the nurse. And so that synergy that comes together when you have the appropriate skill set, the appropriate number of providers with what is happening with the actual patient at that time is really what's most important.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how about you, Terry, from your travels and everything you've heard from all the nurses you've encountered over the past year, do you hear that staffing is a big issue for them?
I do, actually, and at our annual meeting we just did this, you know, what are the top five barriers to care, and staffing emerged as one of those. But like Karen, I think the reality of understanding it's not necessarily adequate staffing, but it's appropriate staffing, and that's one of the healthy work environment standards. And it is that matching the patient needs to the nurse competencies, and that's what we need to look at. You know, ratios are not necessarily the only thing that you consider. And I have to tell you, as a director, I understand that being charged with meeting a certain unit of service or whatever. But, you know, the evidence shows that when there's not enough RN present on the unit, that safety is compromised. And so it really is recognizing what do our patients need, what do nurses bring to the table, and what is the care that needs to be delivered within that synergy model.
The other issue around safety that's come up recently has been the issue of 12-hour shifts. Many nurses work three 12-hour shifts in a row, and we know that there are nurses who then go to a nearby facility and will work additional shifts. So there has been some work to date, and Ann Rogers, who received a Pioneering Spirit Award, certainly has done a lot of work on nurse fatigue, and that certainly entered into all the discussion and some of the studies around errors in nurse fatigue and 12-hour shifts. What's your thinking about 12-hour shifts?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, my staff appreciates 12-hour shifts because it gives them the ability to have work-life balance, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times. And I think the bigger thing is recognizing that when you work more than 12 hours, if I work one job here and I go someplace else, that what you're doing is really wearing down your ability to respond effectively, your adaptability, your resilience, all those kinds of things. You know, there's not a whole lot I can do to tell you not go get another job. Mm-hmm. Some people, they put food on their table, Sean, mm-hmm. that way, you know. But I do believe that it's important for nurses to be able to recognize the impact and the effect that that's having on them, to understand what the research shows. Because the other thing is, when you're really fatigued, you know you can't think straight. Mm-hmm. And so you may think you're doing a good job. And I think it's being open to recognizing the impact on our patients, because that's what it's really about. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about our patients. And that's the message that we need to get across.
Mm-hmm. Would you concur, Karen?
Definitely. I think TK hit that spot on. I think that a lot of what's so important to really, I think, encourage nurses is to really have the courage to be able to say, you know, even within it could be an 8-hour shift, there may be a time they need to stop and take a break, and being able to speak up and say when they need that support or need help. So I think that's incredibly important, and I think TK summarized very nicely mm-hmm. About the shift. I think you're right, Anne has shown some tremendously mm-hmm. Wonderful work about what we need to consider with fatigue and how that can really increase as you increase the number of hours that you're putting in to caring for others.
Mm-hmm. Sean, and if I may, you know, the other part of that is that burnout. So, you know, it is about paying attention to not get into burnout. And that's one of the things that we recognize in AACN is that is so important. And, you know, we've done some work with the Critical Care Collaborative, SCCM, ATS, and CHEST. And that is one of the sessions that we're having at NTI tomorrow is a summit on burnout. But I think it's important to recognize what those signs and symptoms are, what contributes, and then what can you do to overcome that. And there's some fabulous work that Meredith Wheeler and Mark Moss are doing at University of Colorado, specifically in critical care nurses, about preventing burnout and how to manage yourself.
Mm-hmm. Seems to be a push in some places to allow napping at work in terms of those power naps to get people who are on a long shift at night to refresh if they, instead of, you know, going off the unit to spend a half hour for lunch or dinner break, but to do a power napping. What do you think of that, Karen?
Well, that's not something that I currently have in place where I work, but I have been to a number of hospitals where that is in place, and they've actually found that it works quite well. They cover each other as they would for lunch, mm-hmm. And they have specific period of time that they can just relax, and they actually have areas that they have set aside that they have an opportunity to be away from the clinical setting, mm-hmm. And have, you know, comfortable seating and that sort of thing. So I think it's something that should be looked at in various institutions.
Okay. Well, it's been wonderful chatting with the both of you and getting your ideas on some of these issues that certainly seem to recur ever since the first NTI. I remember we discussed some of these back in 1974. So now we're looking ahead to next year and to your presidency. And, of course, this year there was a theme. Your theme was on focusing the flame. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering what the theme may be for next year, and if you'll tell me.
I would be happy to, and I'm excited to tell you that the theme for next year at AACN will be Courageous Care. And it's really to talk about those things that I mentioned that I think are going to be so important, that nurses have courage to take action, to speak up, to be advocates for their patients and families, to really utilize evidence-based best practices that are available, to really be able to speak up when they need help and they need to renew themselves. I think that's all going to be extremely important. And again, that's just an important component in providing compassionate care, and it takes a lot of courage to do so. So that's our theme.
That's a great theme. It really takes off on the willful blindness keynote. in the sense of speaking up. And so many of the themes over the years have been about speaking up and having a bold voice and all on behalf of patients. So it certainly fits in with AACN's perpetual theme, I think. So that's exciting. Courageous care. Excellent.
Yes.
So thank you both. I appreciate the time. And I look forward to next year and seeing you again and seeing how you felt about the year. Thanks.
Great.